The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Democrats have basically no leaders right now, and so this week a new series of polls came out asking people who they think the de facto leader of the Democrat Party should be and the 2028 nominee for Democrats, which leads us to this. We are doing a head-to-head matchup between Pete Buttigieg and AOC because despite both being horrible candidates, in my opinion, they're polling at the front of the pack when it comes to the 2028 polls. So let's look at the polls, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the odds of each one actually winning and kind of being the de facto leader of the Democrat Party in the 2028 nominee. This first one's from Atlas Intel. You'll remember I used this one a lot for the election. It actually ended up being the polling that was the most accurate for Donald Trump's victory. So I think they're pretty trustworthy as polling goes. What you see here is that Buttigieg is in front, actually, with 27.7%, Harris behind with 24%, AOC at 15%, and then a couple of random weirdos behind, frankly. You've got like Newsom and Whitmer. I'm sorry. They're not going to do well. Booker as well. These people are people who have run for president before, and they didn't do well. So that's Atlas Intel. The next one, this one, is excluding Kamala Harris, and it just has Buttigieg at the top with 17%, Booker at 14%, and then Ocasio-Cortez tied for 14%. So Buttigieg has the edge in both those polls. If you look at this one, though, you have Harris at 18%, Buttigieg at 14%, Ocasio-Cortez at 12%, and then finally Harris at 28%. AOC is above Buttigieg at this one, 21% to Buttigieg's 14%. Now, the reason why I've kind of disregarded Kamala Harris in this conversation is I think even the Democrat establishment, with all the flaws that they have, I think even them, they're not stupid enough to put her up again, because she was such a colossal failure. And she's never won a primary, by the way. I mean, she's run for president several times at this point. Never won a primary. Never even gotten a single primary delegate vote, ever. She's not good at elections. And there's also an open governor seat in California that I think is probably hers if she wants it. So I think she's going to go that way. I don't even think that people are going to let her. And when I say people, I mean the deep state and the establishment of the Democrat Party. I don't think they're even going to let her run because she's such a colossal failure. So if we rule her out, you see Pete Buttigieg and AOC at the top, with Pete Buttigieg leading in most of the polls. And here is what is so interesting about these two specifically. Despite not being great candidates, in my opinion, they have very different and very opposite strengths and weaknesses. Pete Buttigieg, for instance, if you really look at them, Pete Buttigieg is a very smooth talker. He's on the talk shows all the time. Honestly, he's pretty good at arguing and debating, very much like Obama. AOC, not so much, really. I mean, I've heard a couple people say AOC is like a formidable force when it comes to just talking about policy. I just haven't seen that. I've never seen her really be that articulate. I don't think that's her strength. I think that is Pete Buttigieg's strength, despite him. Again, I think he's an awful candidate. I think he has some pretty good charisma. So again, kind of opposite things on that end. On the other side, though, AOC actually has some real experience in policymaking in Congress, and she actually has receipts to show that she's done stuff. And on the other hand, Pete Buttigieg does not have anything like that. I mean, he was the mayor, did a crappy job. Then he was the transportation secretary, did an awful job, took paternity leave. Paternity leave, guys. Let me talk about paternity leave for a second with Pete Buttigieg. Because my wife had a baby last week. And I work for myself, so I don't get paternity leave. The reason why you have paternity leave is to take care of your wife. And to spend time with your baby as well, but ultimately to take care of her because she just went through a massive, massive operation. Pete Buttigieg is gay, and he has a husband, and they adopted a baby, which of course should be illegal, and I've talked about that at great length. But my question is, if you're both gay and you didn't deliver the baby, then why are you taking paternity leave? I think he took like 6 months, 4 to 6 months or something like that of paternity leave. It's ridiculous. And of course, there were other transportation mishaps when he was in. And people know this. Like, this is, these were big stories. No one really likes Pete Buttigieg based on what he's done. On the other hand, AOC has really done some horrible stuff from my perspective, but in the eyes of Democrats, actually done some pretty solid stuff. She's done a lot of things that Democrats like. For instance, trying to raise the minimum wage. I think it's stupid, but she's talked about it. And she's tried to do it. This is one thing that she actually has done that's good, which is she's trying to ban Congress from trading stocks. And again, like, if you're looking at these two people and you think, well, what's AOC done from a Democrat perspective? You can see that she is a true progressive. Pete Buttigieg is just a nothing. I mean, he is a product of the establishment. He's done nothing. And so I think that's a big plus for AOC in the eyes of Democrats. The other thing that AOC has going for her is that in terms of identity, I think she is way more powerful than Buttigieg. Because what AOC does, she comes from a working background. That's her whole thing. She was a bartender. And she's very intersectional. You know, she's a woman of color. The left loves that. Pete Buttigieg is kind of almost too far for even a lot of Democrats on the intersectionality. The man is gay. He's openly gay. He's got foundations he started with his husband that grooms children. They pledge allegiance, not to the American flag, but to the LGBTQ pride flag. There's videos of them doing that. And I think even for a lot of Democrats, that's a little strong. I think it's strong because, again, that's an 80-20 issue. Sure, there's, you know, maybe 20-30% of the Democrat Party that's loony and they think that's okay. But even most Democrats, I think, are not okay with that. So with all that, looking at AOC versus Pete Buttigieg, even with the small polling lead that Pete Buttigieg has, I think that AOC is going to be the nominee at this point, looking at it right now. Because despite being really garbage, I think she exemplifies a lot of what Democrats kind of like and are going after. And she's willing to pretend, even if I don't really believe AOC is not part of the establishment. I think she totally is, but she's willing to pretend she's not. And she looks a little bit like a populist. She looks a little bit like a Bernie Sanders. And I've always said that Bernie Sanders was a bit more part of the establishment than people made him out to be. I think the same is true for AOC. But again, she's willing to play this kind of populist trend that's going. And I think that's going to be a lot more popular because, unlike AOC, Buttigieg is the very definition of establishment Democrat in every single way. I think it's going to burn him in the end. I think AOC is going to come out on top. So that is what's going on with the Democrats, but we have to talk about the latest news on Trump and his tariffs as well. Kevin O'Leary shredded the CNN anchor over Trump's tariffs and had one of the best defenses I've ever seen of Trump's tariffs on China. Take a look.
No, everybody knows the number one destination for the world's capital, more than 50% of it, is invested in the United States of America. 49% of all consumption is in the U.S. 26.1% of world GDP is the United States. It is still the number one economy. And if you're given the opportunity to invest in China or the United States, it's a no-brainer. Every dollar goes to the U.S. And so while the U.S. has the upper hand, and let's remember something, there's a time bomb here. For Trump, it's the midterm elections. But Xi's got a time bomb, too. He's got millions of workers in factories. Right now, those products are sitting on ships floating in the ocean because nobody's going to buy them because they don't have a big enough economy to consume them. Only the U.S. can do that. So we've got a little bit of a game here, a little game of chicken, because Xi only gets to stay in power if people have jobs and they can feed their families. He gets a vote every day. If those factory workers have no jobs, they're going to be like a Frankenstein with torches up at the castle. It's going to be brutal, and he knows that. So let's have this dance. Let's go now. Let's settle this now. 400% tomorrow morning, right, to absolutely lock down zero trade until we solve this.
So this is exactly right what he says. In a head-to-head matchup between the U.S. and China, the United States wins, and a lot of it comes down to the amount of things that we, not that we produce, but that we consume. And so China's going to hurt a lot more from these tariffs. However, with that, if your plan is to get off of Chinese influence and dependence, you need to do a couple of things. And this is my biggest concern, and this is what O'Leary did not talk about in that interview. The first thing you have to do is you have to create strong allies. Because the reality is there are certain things that we cannot get from the United States. I understand the purpose of tariffs is to stop reshoring, stop going abroad, actually make things at home. I get all of that. There are certain things that don't exist in the United States. Like certain minerals, we just can't get them. It's not possible. They don't exist here. So you have to have trade to a certain point. And again, if you isolate your allies, then they're just going to go into the hands of China. That's going to happen. And so we actually want the exact opposite. So hopefully what I'm hoping to see is that we're going to have deals come out in the next few days where Trump's talked about those, where he is making a plan with our allies to actually isolate China. Because again, if you isolate your allies, they're going to go to China. If you take in allies that have key minerals or goods that you actually need, then you can all just say, hey, we don't need China anymore. The CCP is not something that we support. The West isn't going to tolerate that. We're going to work together. But if we put high tariffs on our allies, they're going to go to China. So that's one thing. The other thing is you have to implement policy like this because it's so big. You have to implement it a little more gradually. Because here's the thing, guys. There are literally thousands of businesses, small businesses, the big businesses, we can talk about those, but let's just talk about small businesses. There's just thousands of small businesses in America that are going to go bankrupt overnight because of these tariffs. And I have to say, I've seen this from a lot of conservative political commentators. The lack of America first that I'm hearing from some people is astounding on this issue. Because what I hear from high profile conservatives out there is, okay, like those small businesses, they should go bankrupt because they were relying on China and that's evil. They should have been America first. And I think that's total crap. I think that's BS. When there's policy in place, when something is cheap, you do it as a business. Any small business person understands this. They create a great product and Americans buy it. So it's not like they're not only producing goods for Americans, but they're also producing jobs. And so this idea that they're just not America first, it's total crap. It's BS. And I kind of understand the tendency from some of these people to want to see large corporations suffer a little bit. I get it. There's some corrupt organizations out there, BlackRock, State Street, all of those woke ESG funded companies that are funded by those companies, those venture capital firms and things like that. I understand that tendency. But wanting small businesses to suffer, I think, is Democrat communism crap. And I've seen it so much from conservatives, it makes no sense to me. Anyone cheering for small businesses is, I think, America last. I think they don't deserve any, plain and simple, I don't think they deserve any part in the conservative movement. So ultimately, what should Trump do? And I think what it is that he should go harder on China even, like Kevin O'Leary is saying, but what he should do is he should make some very favorable deals with countries like Vietnam, that have goods that the U.S. just simply doesn't have. And then what he should do is add, say, a 20% tariff on China every single month for the next 2 years, and which eventually, of course, is going to compound to a ridiculous number. But that gradual increase would actually give small businesses the opportunity to grow and, change. You just can't change your supply chain overnight. If all of your goods come from China, and they slap 150% tariff on that, you can't just magically move it to America. They might want to do that even, but they can't do it overnight. They need a little bit of time. That's what small businesses need. Otherwise, they're going to go bankrupt. Most businesses cannot spend 150% more on their goods and stay in business. And the only way they could do that, by the way, to stay in business is by charging Americans 150% more to buy something. So it's not good for the small businesses. It's not good for the workers, because if those small businesses go out of business, there's not going to be jobs, that people had before. And it's not going to be good for the consumer either, because goods are going to go up for those small businesses that are able to survive because they just keep working with China and pass on the tariff to the consumer. So again, not good for businesses, not good for the consumer either. So again, by all means, go after China. Just don't destroy the small business owner and all the consumers in the process. Hey guys, if you enjoy reading but you don't know what to read right now, I wanted to introduce you to my book, A New Cult. It's up on the bookshelf over there. I talk about how the left has literally devolved into a cult, talk about some crazy stories. I know you'll enjoy reading it. Go check it out. It's on Amazon right now. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching, guys. If you haven't already, go down below, like the video, subscribe to my channel, and watch another video.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.